Well, this is week number 46. Welcome to our newsletter and welcome to the podcast that features our newsletter, or where our newsletter features in this podcast for this week. Dawn and I are going to be chatting through maybe some of the happenings that have happened this week and maybe some other things that have maybe on the periphery that are influencing our lives here in the financial world. Dawn, you know, a very tumultuous week in markets, huge amounts of volatility, lots and lots of news flow, especially out of the UK and out of the US, but predominantly out of the United States. But before we get there, I know there's been some changes as far as medical aids are concerned. Do you maybe just want to chat about that just for 2 seconds?
It's not so much changes, Kobe. It's that once a year, there's this window of opportunity for members of medical aids to change the plan within the medical aid without any penalties. If you try and change a plan in the middle of the year, you can run into penalties and exclusions. But during October and November, you can make those changes to the plan without any penalties, and you need to take advantage of that. Have a look at what the year has been like, and if necessary, speak to your medical aid provider to see whether you should be going to a better or a smaller plan to fit in with your needs. Medical aid is extremely expensive. Medical aid inflation generally runs at 10% plus, and you know you need to apply your mind a little bit so that these costs don't go out of control. Also, a good idea to consider taking out gap cover if you find that during the year you've had a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. You're welcome to contact me if you need any more input on this, but that window to change is closing and is usually closed by the end of November, at the latest about the 10th of December. Okay, Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, let's get back to markets. I mean, that's really been the big topic, I suppose, for the week. I mean, on the one side, we've had the US CPI print coming in at about 7.7% year on year. That is down from a number of 8.2% in September. And obviously, markets took this as an absolute affirmation that inflation is going to be cooling in significant ways kind of going forward. This lit the markets, and we saw a very, very large rise in markets on Thursday. It actually started as the number came out. America wasn't opened yet, Dawn. And what's interesting is I saw the DAX turn around immediately. And as I saw it, I kind of thought to myself, what has occurred? Has something happened in Europe? I started going through the news flash, and then I saw it was actually the US CPI print. And that literally just continued throughout the whole of Thursday. Markets just continued to rally and rally and rally. If we look at how much markets actually rallied on the day, you saw huge gains. I mean, the S&P was up 5.5%. The NASDAQ was up 7.3% on the day. And one almost has to ask the question, is this not a sign of just volatility in the markets? Because what we saw was a massive synchronized move across all asset classes. It wasn't just in one particular asset class. It was right across absolutely all asset classes. And one has to kind of ask, is this not just part of the volatility that we'll be seeing in markets?
My feeling when I heard this is that there's something a little bit wrong. The movement seemed to be too far too soon. It almost seemed too good to be true. What is your feeling on that? Is this just a blip and we're going to go back to 8% again next month? I mean, 1 month is too soon to see a trend, surely.
So if you listen to lots of guys in the macro world out of the US, that's exactly what they say. They're saying this might be a little bit soon to celebrate, you know, the break in inflation. That's the first thing. This might just be a blip in some of the data points that have just been captured inside that overall number. The second factor to take into consideration is that core PCE inflation, which is really the thing that it gets utilized by the Federal Reserve to target inflation, that number is still up at 6.3% year on year. Somebody tongue-in-cheek actually said this week, I was listening to them, and they tongue-in-cheek said, if I said to you 12 months ago that core inflation, core PCE inflation in the US would be recorded at 6.3%, and markets would rally by 5.5% on that news, what would you say? And I laughed, because that is exactly what has actually happened on Thursday. So I think the number is a sticky number. I think the number is a number that we've seen one data point for. And the other thing to take into consideration is often when inflation spikes this high in markets, you often have a situation where it takes a long time for this to wash out of the system. It doesn't just happen immediately. And this is exactly what we're seeing at the moment. So this is probably just more bear market volatility that we're seeing rather than a pronounced turnaround as far as markets are concerned.
Kobe, when you get a spike in equities like we saw last week, we often get a movement on the bonds. What's happening on the bonds in response to this news?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting because what we saw is a synchronized move across all asset classes. It's not as if the market favored one asset class, you know, for another one. So we saw an absolute synchronized movement. So if you look at US, the whole US yield curve, the whole thing shifted in a parallel fashion down, and prices rose in a parallel fashion. Just to give you an indication, the US 10-year bond, that's if you lock up your money for 10 years, was up at, let's call it, circa 4.2%, and it ended the week down at 3.8%. Now, I think, in South Africa, let's just put a South African context to this. The R2030 was being sold pre this news at about 10.5%, and that then dropped to about 10.2% during this whole thing. So it really affected how bonds traded right across the whole world. And I think if I speak to people in the bond space, and I look at guys that trade bonds, they're saying this is too much too quickly. And at some point, we'll see a parallel shift again in yields kind of rising further up. And this is as there's more and more news flow, Dawn. I think, you know, the news flow at the moment is there's any piece of good news, markets are just literally hanging on it and trying to just kind of hang an investment case on it. And that becomes problematic because you don't have necessarily a valuation underpin for what we're doing. You have rates that have risen and rates are going to rise even more. You know, and I write about that in the newsletter this week. You know, inflation, real inflation, is still negative if you take core PCE inflation into consideration in the United States. So it's not that part of it's not going to change. And that's what makes markets so interesting at the moment, Dawn, is that the rates have risen absolutely hugely internationally. And that surely has to have some threats and opportunities as far as your wealth is concerned from a higher interest rate perspective.
Absolutely, Kobe. Here locally, we've been in the fortunate position to have had relatively high interest rates for the last decade, particularly when you compare it to the US and Europe. And as a result, investments that have been in Europe and in America, we have shied away from interest rates and shied away from bonds because they have been at zero or near zero. That is now changing. And it suddenly offshore bonds become more interesting, especially in the fixed interest environment, you know, when a client is in a fixed income environment. So there are opportunities there. They're obviously for a lot of people who have debt. Obviously, higher interest rates aren't great. Higher interest rates mean higher mortgage repayments and that sort of thing. So at the end of the day, there are threats and there are opportunities, and it does depend on what you want your investments to do. But it is, for the first time, particularly in the offshore environment, giving us the opportunity to remove some of the volatility in offshore markets and by bringing in some of those global bonds.
Yeah, I mean, Dawn, as you know, I mean, one of the big things that we do here, just to elaborate on that, is income matching. So for those people that are retired that need income, we try and match the income that they need with the assets in the market. And for the very first time, one is able to do that globally. We're able to pick up global bonds at yields that resemble something like 5%, 4%, 5%, you know, somewhere in that area, without taking on an excessive amount of risk. It's not like we're buying junk bonds or we're buying things that are dubious if it's going to pay out. Obviously, this is a journey. And as the Federal Reserve and the ECB and the Bank of England continue to put up rates, those yields on those bonds will obviously rise with that. I think probably for the US, there's probably another two rate hikes before they push pause. as far as rate hikes are concerned. I mean, across the pond, away from America, the other big print was on Friday. That was UK GDP, firmly in negative space there, minus 0.2% quarter on quarter. And that is one thing that we haven't seen in the US yet. We're still seeing positive GDP numbers. Now, I mean, those are backward looking, but I won't be very, very surprised if we don't hit a recession in the US during 2023, and that with it takes earnings in many corporates.
Yes, I think 2023 is going to be very interesting, but from an investment perspective, there will be opportunities. You know, recessions don't always mean just a straight decrease in equity values and losses in the market. It does present opportunities, and I think that's something that investors should focus on.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a lot of time in this week's newsletter. And for anybody listening, go pick up the newsletter. Right at the end of the newsletter, there's a graph which details the correlation between the S&P 500 earnings on the S&P 500 and then also inflation. You'll hear a lot of commentators talking about the 1970s and the 1980s. As a matter of fact, I had a client that actually emailed me a fairly long talk about this inflation environment. And I could actually show them visually what this actually looked like. And you can actually see the correlation between when markets turn, when inflation peaks, and how earnings play themselves out. And the big takeout from all of this at this stage is that in each one of those periods, we were already in a recession when inflation peaked. And this is not the case as far as where we are today. We are yet to see the actual inflation number. We're yet to see recession rearing its head, but we've seen the height of inflation. We've seen that. We've seen some bottoming out in the market. And I won't be surprised if markets continue to falter as earnings continue to falter with a recession potentially building in 2023. Does that mean a Fed pivot? It'll be interesting. We'll have to see where that goes. Well, that was the newsletter podcast for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Join us again next week where we'll chat some more markets.